All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the June 4th meeting of the Judicial Branch Budget Committee. Nice to see everybody. I'm just going to give a couple of reminders here to start. This is an open meeting. It's open to the public and it is being recorded. The meeting is being conducted virtually and all members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-only video feed. Budget committee members and others who may be presenting or answering questions today, please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking. To minimize background noise, please mute yourself when you're not speaking. Also, please identify yourself prior to speaking so our recording is a clear record. All right, Ms. Cowan, if you'll please take roll.
Judge Mormon.
Present.
Mr. Yamasaki.
Good afternoon, present.
Thank you. Justice Fujisaki.
Present.
Thank you. Justice Hill was going to be absent today, so I don't see him. Judge Armendariz.
Here.
Thank you. Judge Botke.
Judge Botke, and forgive my background noise, Judge Botke did inform me that he may not be able to attend or he may be late. So we'll mark him not in attendance for now.
Okay. Thank you. Judge Crompton.
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Rachel Hill.
I'm here. I'd also like to note that I will be abstaining from any votes today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we do have a quorum, Judge Mormon.
All right, great. So our first item of business today is to approve the minutes from our May 16th, 2024 meeting. They are attached in our materials at pages 3 through 6. If there's a motion, I'd love to hear it.
Fujisaki, so moved.
All right, thank you.
Yamasaki seconds.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes as moved, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? And Ms. Hill is abstaining. All right, Ms. Cowan, we did receive public comment for today's meeting, correct?
Yes, and it was circulated to the members in advance of this meeting.
All right, this concludes the public comment portion of the meeting. By that, I want to state expressly that the substance of the public comment that we did receive will be addressed and discussed in our meeting today. All right, so turning to our action items, as a reminder, the three items on our agenda today for action were pulled from our May 16th meeting as they were impacted by proposals in the governor's May revision to the budget or the revision to the governor's budget. The items as they had originally been considered by TCVAC had to be sent back to TCVAC as the funding bases for the items had changed per the May revise. TCVAC met in the interim and its revised recommendations to JBBC are contained in the materials we've all received and will be the subject of presentations today. Before we start, and as a point of interest, I did want to note for the committee members that the legislature released its joint budget plan last week and hearings were held in both the Senate and Assembly. They were voting on open issues as well as proposals in their plan. In some regards, the legislature's plan is different from that was proposed in the governor's budget. However, our budgetary planning is based on what is in the governor's May revision and may not reflect the outcomes or decisions from legislative hearings. The reason for that is because meaning the Judicial Council, has a statutory obligation to approve allocations to the trial courts by July. So our actions need to ensure we bring the recommendations of this committee to the council for its July 12, 2024 meeting. Budget negotiations are still ongoing and the information serving as the foundation for discussion today may change based on what is included in the final budget released in June. To discuss this and other relevant developments, I'm going to turn it over to Zlatko Theodorovic. Zlatko, if you'd provide us with an update on the status of the budget to help us provide some context for today.
Thank you, Judge Mormon. I appreciate you did a nice job providing an update. I'll give a little bit more detail. So yeah, the legislature's budget committees met last Thursday to adopt their version of the budget, and specifically it continues most of the proposals that were contained in the May revision, including the $97 million reduction to trial court operations, the 7.95% reduction to state level judiciary. It does have the CARE Act adjustment continued at the level that the May revision proposed. There are some changes, though, however, as it relates to court reporter funding. And yes, Judge Mormon, the committee is considering the May revision level. The amount of court reporter funding in the legislative budget package restores the $10 million back up to $30 million, which was what was coming your way prior to the May revision. Again, I think that just speaks to us as a committee and a council to be nimble, which we are, and to the extent that there are additional changes in the budget in the next few weeks, we will make sure that, you know, we work as diligently to get those to the council. Just in terms of timeline, and I'll give you some other changes, but just want to make sure for timeline's sake is that the legislature needs to pass a budget and that in their view is a balanced budget and send that to the governor by the 15th. That means that the legislature will have to have those bills, including any trailer bills, in print by the 12th. And then we'll be able to see what's in there. But just know that we're working with the Department of Finance and the legislature and governor's office on any of these outstanding changes. For example, we still have a remote proceedings trailer bill language is yet to be settled. While the legislature did adopt placeholder, it is not a final product and is still subject to negotiation. The fund balance cap was rejected by the legislature, but that is an ongoing discussion with us to advocate for the benefits of the fund balance cap, especially in light of the budget reductions that have been adopted by the budget committees of the legislature, and we would expect to be in the final budget. We've had many conversations with them, and we've worked with Mr. Yamasaki to gather additional information to try and support that expansion. There's some changes to the self-help funding in so much as the governor approved it on an ongoing basis. The legislature is at this juncture approving it on a 3 limited term basis with the creation of a pretty extensive working group to look at self-help law libraries and legal aid, as well as require some data from us. Obviously, our concerns are not just about policy and whether it's appropriate for us to look at that, but the additional costs, burdens on the branch for complying with additional requirements while we're also having budget reductions. Some changes to the firearms grant, a program that was previously approved and reduced by the governor. The legislature wants some additional grants to be awarded. And again, those are discussions with the legislature. And then some other trailer bills, in particular, something about the Habeas Corpus Resource Center and its capacity to do other kinds of casework other than just those on death row. So again, lots going on. It seems like the speed at which this is all happening fairly quick, but we are working together with you all to get what we need to get to the council and able to pivot as appropriate, and really look forward to today's meeting to get some of these issues moving towards the council. Any questions sort of broadly about the budget package and where and what we're doing with them at this point?
Okay, I don't see any hands. Obviously, if I miss somebody's hands up, just, you know, start waving or something. All right, thank you, Zlatko. I don't see any questions from the members, but thank you for that update. We'll move to our first item of action, and that is the Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Act allocations, commonly known as CARE. And again, these are allocations for 24-25. The relevant materials are at pages 20 through 27. And I'm gonna turn it over to Judge Conklin, our chair of TICFAC. He and Mr. Don Will will be presenting on the subject. Judge Conklin, thank you for joining us once again.
Judge Mormon and members, thank you very much. I will quickly turn these over to the presenters. Item three, I'm going to step back a little bit and make some more comments before turning that over. But the first item, as mentioned, is the CARE Act allocations for 24-25. And Don is with us to present the TICFAC recommendation. I will note that the CARE Act recommendation, the court reporter recommendation come to you unanimously from TCBAC. The third recommendation was there were three nay votes on that, and I'll address that when we get there. Don, turning it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Don Will from the Judicial Council. In 2425, all courts will implement CARE Act proceedings. The eight courts in cohort one will implement them for 12 months. The remaining courts in cohort two are required to implement by December 2024. The governor's May revision adjusted the CARE Act allocations for court costs to $26.5 million in the next fiscal year and $32.9 million in fiscal year 2025-26 and ongoing. This budget adjustment reflects a reduction in the estimated number of petitions that courts are expected to receive and thus in the hearing costs. The CARE Act funding for trial courts was divided into two chunks, court operations and hearing costs. The hearing costs are being reduced. The court operations fund is not being reduced, but we are looking, the $26.5 million allocation is for both of those together. On May 24th, consider the impact of the adjustment and recommended that the funding methodology that was approved for this current year should be continued. This methodology involves a base for hearing related costs to all courts of $93,000, a base for court operations costs to all courts for $98,000, and the remaining funding to be allocated by the workload formula. So essentially all courts, including the small courts, get a certain base in a year and the remaining funding is then allocated by the workload formula to what amounts to about the 20 larger courts. The allocation going to cohort one, including Los Angeles, is equivalent to a year of full funding, and the remainder distributed to cohort two after the bases are distributed pro rata. There were some alternatives considered at the meeting. The principal one is described in the report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Judge Mormon, back for questions.
All right, thank you, Don. And the materials were very thorough. Did anybody have any questions, first of all? And the recommendation from TCBAC appears at on the last, page 9 of my materials. It's a 3-part recommendation. If there are no questions, may I have a motion, please?
Yes, Yamasaki moves approval of the three recommendations reflected on pages 9 and 10 of the materials.
Thank you.
Seconds.
Thank you. And any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And Ms. Hill is abstaining. All right, thank you. We'll move to our second item of action today, and that concerns court reporter allocations for the budget year 24-25. The materials concerning this item appear at pages 28 through 31. And Judge Conklin, I'm going to turn it back to you and Chris Belloli to tee that for us, please.
Judge Mormon, thank you. And a special thanks to Chris, who's just about to chime in here. Chris is, as you know, putting aside his travel time to get this matter addressed. We really appreciate that, Chris. And Zlatko's already addressed that the legislative plan on the court reporter allocation adds the $10 million back in, but we're proceeding with the governor's plan and all that. Chris is explaining that to you as he's getting his gate information.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. I apologize for having to call in today. This item before you today is consideration of recommendations from the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee for 24-25 allocations to the trial courts in the amount of $20 million for court reporters. This court reporter funding has been ongoing, so this item has been before TCBAC and JBBC in previous years of funding. But as Judge Conklin and Zlatko mentioned, the May revision for 24-25 reduced the level of funding from $30 million to $20 million, but has no impact on how these funds could be used. And the allocation methodology for the $20 million funding to the trial courts is described in the report, and the recommended allocations are contained in Attachment A of your materials. There's also a recommendation coming from the TICBAC meeting to direct Judicial Council staff to survey the courts as soon as practical, but no later than mid-year after allocations are distributed to the trial courts for a one-time redistribution of unspent funds to ensure the full appropriation is maximized to increase the number of court reporters. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Judge Conklin, and to the committee for any questions.
Chris, thanks so much. And Judge Warren, back to you for questions and a vote.
All right, thank you. So again, just to, you know, a little repetition, I think is always beneficial. This is one of those items where the budget, the legislature has now started having hearings about does restore the court reporter funding that is, there's a cut reflected in the governor's May revise. But again, if the funds end up being restored, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Today, our decision to adopt or not the recommendation from TICBAC has to be based on the governor's May revise in order to get the item to the Judicial Council in a timely fashion. If we get different information before the council meeting, we will address it at that time. So the recommendation does appear at my page 16 of the materials. And it does, as Chris stated, there's a second bullet point that directs the Judicial Council staff to survey the courts after allocations are distributed to the trial courts. And I think we're going to add the recommendation language of as soon as practical, but no later than mid-year. Is that right, Judge Conklin?
That's the recommendation, yes. So we can account for those funds that have not been utilized and reallocate those as is necessary.
Okay, great. All right, further questions or comments on this matter? If not, is there a motion?
So moved, Crompton.
Thank you, Judge Crompton. Second?
Fujisaki, second.
Thank you, Justice Fujisaki. All right, any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Ms. Hill is abstaining. All right, thank you. All right, we'll move to our next item, which is item number 3. And this is, broadly speaking, the allocations to the trial court or from the trial court trust fund for years 24 and 25. Action is required. The materials were provided. This is also the item for which we received written public comment, which will be addressed during our discussion today. And Judge Conklin, I'm going to turn it over to you and Ms. Oksana Tuck to discuss the recommendations from TICBAC and other relevant information. Thank you.
Hey, Judge Mormon, thank you. I'll turn it over to Oksana in just a few minutes, if you will just allow me some introductory comments. I will also note, unfortunately, I have a jury coming back. I delayed until 2:00. We're trying to get our closings done this afternoon. So if we're not finished by 2, Chad Finke, who is always on deck and much appreciated, he's here. At the meeting, Rebecca couldn't make it. Chad will conclude any further discussions or questions if they exist at 2:00. So as Judge Mormon has noted, this item comes back to you from TICBAC. It addresses the $3 billion TCTF allocation. And unfortunately, and understandably, we are now tasked with considering the $97 million reduction. Prior to that, we did address also an issue related to the through the funding methodology and coming back through TICBAC concerning how we define no new money or new money for the purposes of the consumer price index or CPI funding. And after it worked its way through FMS and through TICBAC, the decision was clear and unanimous throughout that CPI, while clearly appreciated, would not be considered to be new money for the purposes of our appropriate allocation methodology. Though this budget does not contain CPI funding, we do believe it's an important policy consideration in the hopes that CPI funding will be addressed in future budgets. And so I'm not going to get way down in the weeds. But again, by having CPI not considered to be new money, that moves us forward in our allocation methodology. So the current workload formula states that allocations for which the reduction must be implemented will be addressed as needed. TCBAC's recommendations address that. So we are also recommending that CPI not fall within the new money definition. But getting to the perhaps the issue that bears more attention is the $97 million reduction. That was considered at our May 24th meeting. It was a vibrant meeting, a meeting that went actually longer than time allocated, which allowed for full discussion. And as noted, I called for a individual vote at the conclusion of the meeting. And while I'll discuss the recommendation, three members opposed that recommendation. So TCBAC was looking at a methodology to account for what happens when we have a budget reduction as we're dealing with this year. We considered what's called a pro rata methodology. We considered two versions of pro rata, both a proportional and a version applied to workload formula. The second one was applied to, again, workload formula, pardon for my repetition. The committee felt, and my recollection is it was essentially unanimous. There was discussion and questions, but the pro rata formulation methodology did not advance the principle of improving equity, which is a principle we cannot lose sight of. So regardless of a good year, so to speak, or a flat year, or a year, unfortunately, like this year with a reduction, it has been an ongoing and firmly stated policy statement of TCBAC that equity still has to be addressed in each year. And I believe the ultimate recommendation today does address that. We then, after deciding that a pro rata formulation would not be, allocation methodology would not be appropriate, we addressed two approaches to what we call reverse equity. And Exxon is going to drill down into these. The first approach was to apply the up to 50% of the reduction to the courts above the statewide average funding level, and the remaining reduction percentage is applied to all courts based upon their workload formula. This methodology was a more tailored approach for the reduction and was intended to have courts above the statewide funding average take more of a reduction than the courts below. I remind you, there's a statewide funding average. We've got courts above and courts below. That's the way the allocation methodology works. And we generally look to those courts above and have them reallocate their funding to the courts below to try to bring everybody as close to that funding line as possible. The second approach to the reverse equity allocation methodology establishes bands. So we take the statewide funding average and we look at 2% above and 2% below, and that gives us a band of courts falling within that statewide average funding band. Both methodologies do support equity and address equity, but the second approach, the banding approach, was felt by the committee, at least the members approving the recommendation, to more closely align with maintaining funding stability. We do recognize, and I do recognize, that public comment was received. There were seven courts within the band, below statewide average, but within the band, that were authors of this methodology. I understand and appreciate their thoughtful comments, but the concern that we have that was stated was that if that proposal is implemented, then it actually passes the reduction further down to the courts below the band, and it asks them to accommodate more of the reduction. Zana is going to give you those numbers. But for example, the Yuba Superior Court, which is well below the band, would now take, under that proposal, would take an additional 0.26 reduction on under option one of the public comment. Under option two of the public comment, they take a 0.22% more reduction. And under option three, a 0.28% more reduction. And folks, we tried to stay away from actual numbers. As we move forward to these recommendations, TCBAC's ongoing mantra is to recognize the policy that was previously adopted. But we can't ignore the impact the numbers have on the courts, which is why you have the numbers before you. Likewise, if we were to shift this burden to those courts. Remember, the courts above the band take more of the burden, but if we shift even more to them, it has the same impact. It impacts their ability for predictability. It impacts their ability to plan. So as counterintuitive as it sounds to say the courts above the band shouldn't take even more, we have to keep in mind that for those courts above the band, we can only ask them to do so much. And if we impose an additional impact upon them, it really impacts our goals, not of equity, but of predictability. I've probably talked too much, but let's get really down into the weeds of this and the mechanics of it. And I refer it over to Oksana for the technical and perhaps a more thorough presentation. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak. I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services Office. Agenda item number 3 on page 19 of your materials, ask for consideration of the recommended preliminary fiscal year 24-25 trial court trust fund, TCTF, and the state general fund allocations for the judicial council offices and the trial courts, totaling $3 billion. Attachment 3A on page 26 provides detailed recommendations on TCTF allocations for various programs. The bottom section of Attachment 3A provides two summaries of the total allocations that are displayed cumulatively by each Judicial Council office and TCTF program. The fiscal year 24-25 proposed governance budget does not include any new funding for the trial court, including no consumer price index adjustments due to the state projected fiscal deficit. The CPI increases have been included in the budget in the last 3 fiscal years. FMS discussed the CPI adjustment funding at its March 7 meeting and recommended that CPI funding included in the budget to address inflationary costs for the trial courts should not be considered new money for the purpose of allocating funding via the workload formula. And therefore, the definition of new money in the policy should be revised to exclude CPI funding. To address the state projected multi-year budget deficit, the fiscal year 24-25 May revision reflects budget reductions throughout the state government, including judicial branch. Specifically, May revision include $97 million ongoing general fund deduction to the trial courts beginning in fiscal year 24-25. The Judicial Council allocates much of the funding to the trial courts according to its approved workload formula allocation methodology. And currently, the workload formula policy states that allocations in fiscal years for which a budget reduction must be implemented will be addressed as needed, with a special consideration towards those courts that are below the statewide average funding level. A methodology for applying a funding reduction is to be determined in the year a reduction occurs. During the TCBAC meeting on May 24, committee discussed various reduction allocation methodologies and approved recommendation to apply methodology that was used in fiscal year 2021 to allocate a $167.8 million reduction that occurred due to projected budget deficit resulting from COVID-19 pandemic. This recommendation supports the core workload formula principles of funding equity, stability, and predictability for all trial courts. The reduction of $97 million for fiscal year 24-25 was calculated based on steps listed on page 21 of the materials, utilizing 4% band around the statewide average funding level, and is displayed in attachment 3B in column E. Attachment 3B on pages 27 through 28 provides details of recommended preliminary allocations displaying base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the TCTF and general fund in amount of $3 billion shown in column AC, including total TCTF base allocation in the amount of $2.5 billion in column S. This document can be used to assist courts in breaking down their various allocation categories. Next, the attachment 3C on pages 29 through 30 provides details of fiscal year 24-25 workload formula allocation information of $2.5 billion with the total by each court in column X. The workload formula need and funding percentage also displayed, all contingent on the Budget Act. The materials also include TCTF fund condition statement, which shows that the fund is projected to have the necessary resources to support these requests. The information is outlined in attachment 3D on page 31, with projected fund balance of $128.6 million at the end of fiscal year 24-25, included in row 27. Of this amount, $67.8 million is restricted and $60.8 million is unrestricted. Recommendations presented to GBBC for consideration are listed on pages 24 and 25 of the materials and contingent on proposed finding being included in the enacted 2024 Budget Act. Please note that since these are preliminary allocations, some modifications may be necessary based on future state revenue and budget adjustments. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions.
Oksana, thank you very much. And I just did want to, Judge Mormon, make one more comment on the public comment, which we understand, and help the, and remind the committee members that FMS each year considers the budget allocations. And if there are additional reductions next year, the suggested methodology in that public comment will be considered by FMS. But as we considered it this year for these reductions, again, the impact as noted actually shifts the numbers. You move one court, folks, you move every court. You move seven courts, you move quite a few courts. And while I'm not suggesting that it's inappropriate to not consider changes in the methodology in future years, for this year, we felt this was the most effective allocation methodology considering the significant reduction coming to the courts and the three goals that Oksana just told us about concerning predictability, transparency, and stability, and equity, pardon me. Judge Mormon, back to you.
All right, thank you. Thank you. So any comments or questions? And I guess before I solicit questions or comments, I want to thank the courts that did take the time to prepare and put to writing the public comment. It was and is very helpful. And I think that we, in all our processes, need to be open to rethinking things. And I think the ideas put forth in the letter from the seven courts, you know, will trigger future constructive conversation in future years if we have to confront an allocation reduction, which indeed we may. So I just want to say that I think it's important that the record reflect public comment is important, input is important at all levels of our policy determinations. Well, having said that, questions or comments, Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Let me lower my hand if I can. Judge Mormon, appreciate having the opportunity to talk about the materials that were distributed and also share with you some of the dialogue that took place at TICBAC. It was very, I would say, active in terms of the discussion that took place, and we had a really good opportunity to look through several options. One of the things that, having served on TICBAC for a number of years, that I really appreciate is that we have the opportunity to preserve our commitment to some of the policies and the principles that help build this new model. WAFM, the funding formula that we have right now started out as WAFM. That has been refined to what we have right now. And I do appreciate the recognition that we maintain some adherence to some of the principles that we have long trying to preserve in the actions that we take going forward. And one of the things that Judge Conklin did mention is the importance of maintaining stability. There is going to be variability from year to year from you know, how much courts receive, not just based on the number of dollars they receive, but also by filings. Filings, even with no new money, a court can fall within the ban or outside of the ban on the other side, because that's just how this formula works. It's driven by need, filings, and dollars of availability. So there's going to be a impact on all of the courts with anything that we end up doing. Judge Conklin did mention that there was recognition to smooth out how the reductions are going to be applied to the different courts. And I think in preserving an impact for those courts above the statewide average or the band, those within the band and those on the lower end of the band, there is a difference in the amount of the reductions each of those courts would be receiving. And I absolutely appreciate the input that we received from the different courts, because it did bring to light some issues that I think we need to continue to take a look at. Namely, one of the things that was brought up was applying the reduction as recommended by TICBAC would cause some courts within the ban to fall further away from the statewide average. So the one of the recommendations that was included was to maintain their placement within the ban without further distancing themselves from the statewide average. Unfortunately, because we're talking about a finite dollar figure, the reductions would then be applied in greater percentages to those courts below the statewide band, which is not necessarily what we had contemplated doing. Currently, there is a policy that's been established that if you're above the statewide average, above the band, you have a maximum in terms of how much you're going to be cut. Under one of the proposals that I see, there would be a cap in terms of the distancing that you would be cut. Unfortunately, the remaining amount that would have to be absorbed would be to everyone below the band. So there would essentially be no floor for those courts below the band if, in fact, we were to go forward with preservation of at least one or two or three of the options that were proposed. So that creates some great concern for me, where you have caps in terms of reductions for the top third, middle third, but no cap in the reductions for those below. That creates a bit of a concern. The other thing is that as we're talking about, you know, $97 million, I think that's something that we've, you know, sketched out how all of us would be impacted. If in fact that amount turns out to be significantly higher, by approving one of the recommendations that was identified in the materials through public comment, that would trigger some additional reductions to those courts below the statewide band. So I'm concerned that if we were to take a position different from what FMS identified, what TICBAC had approved, and changing something right now without knowing the full impact of how all of the other variables would affect how the reductions would be applied, I think it's worthy of taking a look at it further. But I don't think that at this stage in the process that we should deviate from what was recommended by TICBAC, what was teased out from FMS. I do recommend that we continue to look at some of the concepts that were included in the written materials for the public comment, because there are a lot of variables that I think we need to think about how we would apply reductions. Is there going to be a new base once these reductions are applied? I don't know the answer to that, but it does have a direct effect to many of the other policies and decisions that we have made already. So those are some of the comments that I have. I do think it was very well thought out, and there are things that we need to do a little bit of homework on going forward for next year, presuming that, you know, things do not improve with the state's economy. But thank you.
David, thanks very much. So as noted, folks, I've got to step away and get back to my jury, but I want to, David said it, I think, more succinctly than I did, but I do want to emphasize that this is an ongoing issue before FMS and therefore an ongoing issue to tick back and back to you. And we will continue to modify these methodologies to further our goals. And so the public comment submitted has some interesting potential and impact as we move forward with these, and those will go to FMS and FMS will look at these. But I echo Mr. Yamasaki, David's comments about as we move forward at this moment, we've done our best to try to address equity, predictability, and stability. And I think the recommendation before you achieves that. Chad, thanks so much for stepping in. I apologize, folks, I've got to get back here. Judge Armendariz, I see you have a comment, but I'm going to step away at this point and let the discussion continue. As I step away, I've got to say thank you to staff, especially with the work they're doing here. The phone calls, the texts, the work being done, even over the past 30 minutes, makes your head spin. And they should be, once again, acknowledge the work they do. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Judge Conklin and Judge Armendariz. And thank you, Mr. Finke, for joining us.
Thank you. I just want to say I was appointed by the Chief Justice to sit on this Judicial Council as a voting member and to this JVPC specifically, with the full understanding that I'm not here representing any constituency and to do what is best overall for all California courts, and always keeping equity in mind, and I will continue to do so. So if it looks like I'm speaking up on behalf of LA County, because I sit as a judge in LA County, that is not the intent. But having said that, I just want to clarify that the underfunded courts are only better in this TICPAC model because the funding has been taken away from these seven courts to do that. The underfunded courts are better off under any of the other options than they are today. And they're also better off under any option that they would be under a pro rata reduction. I never know how to say that word. So I just wanted to clarify that they're still going to be better off.
Chad, would you like to respond? Or Zlatko, or I think she's asking if her statement is accurate.
I can certainly defer to Zlatko. I mean, I think that it's correct that under the proposals in the public comment, I do think that leaves the courts below the line better off than they would be under a pro rata model. I think that's correct.
Mark, quick look at the information. It was a matter of the recommended approach and then looking at the three alternatives that were provided, not looking at the non-recommended approach of pro rata. And so the 3D compared to the other three showed that the other the courts below and outside of the band were going to be facing additional reduction, again, compared to the method that was approved by TICPAC. Not as it relates to the pro rata, which was not the recommended approach.
So I think it's important to say for context, someone please correct me if I'm wrong, that the public comment, the three options presented in the public comment are, if you will, they're sort of proposed refinements to what was talked about in TICPAC as option 3D. Okay, so that's what it was on the TICPAC agenda, is option 3D, and it got discussed as option 3D. And the public comment that came in the form of the letter, it has three options. Those options are proposed refinements to 3D. It's not going a completely different route. So it's not making proposals for going to a pro rata approach, for example. It's to refine or modify or slightly change, however we want to put it, option 3D. I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So apparently I'm at least right on that score. All right, other questions? Judge Armendariz, you still have your hand up. Did you have another question or a comment? Okay. And I also think, you know, some of this discussion is, you know, it's hard to retain all the various pieces that have to be considered, but FMS, and you know, if anybody wants to ask a question, Mr. Finke, you know, he's chair or co-chair of FMS, that this recommendation came from FMS and then all the way to the full TCPAC committee. But it, you know, because we're taking or anticipating receiving cuts to our baseline allocation, the statewide average of funding is going to go down. We don't know to what. We're, you know, we've kind of got some numbers floating around, like 91% or 90% or, you know, 89%. The statewide average is going to come down. So where people are in relation to that line, to borrow Judge Conklin's visual, I think there's going to be some courts will come up. Some courts will come up, meaning rise up closer to the statewide average. Some, as we've talked, the seven within that are currently within the band based on our current workload formula needs assessments, they are going to move slightly away from the statewide average. However, that needs to be compared against what is the percentage of the cut that is being absorbed by each court. And the formula that's being proposed or recommended takes into account that, as Mr. Yamasaki more eloquently explained, the courts that are outside the band and above the average, there's a cap. The courts that are outside the band and below the average and outside the band, they don't have a ceiling. And therefore, you know, any further adjustments will result in them taking a larger percentage of the cut. And I think that, you know, I'm really hoping everybody on the committee just understands those principles that are before us. And again, that this is this model that's being recommended that came up through TCPAC is based upon a prior policy adopted by the Judicial Council in reaction to, or in part of the discussion that came out of the 2021 budget cuts. So, sorry for the repetition. Any comments or other questions? Okay, seeing no hands, is there a motion?
Yeah, I would be happy to make a motion to approve the recommendation from TCPAC.
All right, and for the record, the recommendation appears at my materials at the bottom of page 24 onto page 25. It's three parts. It initially recommends that the CPI funding not be considered new money for purposes of allocating funding via the workload formula, and therefore we're revising the definition of new money. The second component would be to approve the base discretionary and non-discretionary program allocations that are set forth in detail in the materials. And the third bullet point is the $3 billion total allocation. We approve the workload formula allocation of $2.5 billion based on methodologies that we've been discussing here. Is there a second?
I'd be happy to second.
Judge Crumpton, thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Seeing no hands, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The record should reflect Ms. Hill is abstaining. All right, members, thank you. And thank you, Chad, for joining us today. Thanks to Judge Conklin, Ms. Oksana, and all staff at Budget Services. Thank you for responding to all the questions I know you've been receiving. Our next meeting currently is scheduled for July 10. However, we're going to change that. We're going to change it to July 11th because the Judicial Council meeting is scheduled to be a one-day meeting happening on July 12. So our meeting will occur on July 11th from 1 to 2:30. I'll designate it as an in-person meeting. However, if you cannot attend in person, of course, an option to appear remotely will be available. And unless Angela, there's any further business or anyone has any business for the good of the order? If not, our committee will stand in adjournment. Thank you all. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.